When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Orgullosamente latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino Pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 homicide.
Bang, bang,
the
bang, bang, bang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, the bang, the bang, bang.
We be jumping.
Bang, the bang, the bang, bang.
Just act like you know and homie, stop.
Could be stomping. I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the S's in the 6-4 hopping. To my Boricuas in the 787. And those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping. Rolling in my low top chucks. Making sure you suckers feel me every time we bust. Checkered up like a nut going 5150. G'd up and the feet up. Creased up in some dickies.
I rap a lot. Like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clock up in the shop. Straight boosting. To all my hand dead down in Juarez. Cármate un momento, paisa, no dispares.
All right, so what do we got? What's going on?
Unless you know what's been very fascinating to me that we've talked about in the last few shows, bro, you're still not following the Chapo trial, right?
I heard, well, some of the stuff, yeah. Well, what's been going on? You're probably following more than I do because
I think it's fascinating. Yeah. How about you, Joe?
No, I haven't seen too much about it.
Right. His chick came on there and basically spilled the beans, huh?
Right. Right. So this lady was a politician in Mexico, right? Mm-hmm. And she's telling the story how they went – so they broke into his house. Because, like, this is the stuff that you see in movies, and it's real. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So they find him in Mazatlan, and they break into his house, and he's got this bathtub with a hydraulic system that goes up. And so they get into the fucking – sewage system running naked because they'd been sleeping naked. And she says that they're literally running through these tunnels naked for an hour, you know, before they got away from the police. And she thought that him and her were like a couple because her wife is his wife is sitting at the trial. She's the daughter of a very famous narco, a beauty queen, very good looking lady. And
wait, she's a wife of a drug dealer and she's a beauty queen?
Yeah, she's Chapo's wife. Not this girl. Oh. Chapo's wife is at the trial.
Yeah, she's hot.
She's hot, right? And she's the daughter of another narco, all right?
Okay.
So to me, when I see these things, I'm like, wow, you know, this is incredible. She's hearing this from her mistress, you know, because this politician chick is like, I've been with him for 2 years. I thought we were a couple. And they say that she's laughing in the courtroom like, you're just a dumb bitch, you know? And I'm like there's drama within drama within drama. You know what I'm saying? Like one of the biggest guys that turned on him was his right-hand man, El Mayo Zambada, his right-hand man's son who is being groomed to be the next big narco. That's the guy that's really spilled the bean on everything. And then we later find out that he'd been working with the DEA so Chapo could stay in power and they would go and bust other cartels in Mexico. It's pretty fascinating. But anyways, this chick was a politician. And you know that guy that Trump once told to go back to Univision, Jorge Ramos?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You remember that, D.I.?
Yes.
So he's got this show that's real popular in Latin America where he, when he gets you on the show, he grills you. He don't fuck around. So he's like, hey, there's a picture of you in prison going to visit Chapo and you're pregnant. And she goes, that's not me. And they're like, well, here's the picture. This doesn't look like you. And then she's like, you know, somebody could have photoshopped that. That's not me. Okay. He goes, so let me see. You became one of the youngest politicians at 24 years old in Sinaloa. How did you get there if you had no political experience? She's like, well, you know, the people, they chose me. And he's like, really? So people that knew you had no political experience just chose you. So you're trying to tell me maybe Chapo didn't get you into that position? And so now she's like, oh, well, you know, to tell you the truth, stuff like that, we're still going through legal recourse and you'd have to talk to my lawyers. Right there, when you hear that, it's like, you know, it's bullshit. You know, it's almost like when they were, I was watching this interview with Greg Hardy when they were talking about that, his girlfriend that he beat up because it was like, remember that there was like a 911 call and the lady was like, yeah, I can hear somebody's getting beat up and I can see it too. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
They played that all over ESPN. And so they're basically telling him about that. And he's going, well, you know, those bruises could be photoshopped. And he goes, and I'm not saying that I did nothing wrong, but I'm innocent of these charges. And then they're like, what was it that they asked him? They ask him something and he just starts saying, well, you know, that's something that my lawyers are going to have to answer. When you hear like your lawyers have to answer stuff and you just can't say no, it always makes me feel like you're trying to get out of something. But anyways, going back to Chapo, and they were also talking about how he had put all this software stuff like in all his mistress's phones and he was always keeping track of what everybody was doing. Oh, here was a fascinating one. They went to do this peace treaty and this guy that he went to do the peace treaty with, they had heat from before. So when the peace treaty was over, like amongst all these narco guys, the guy wouldn't give Chapo his hand. He just kind of left him hanging there in front of everybody else, and Chapo went and had him killed. Mm. It's really fascinating shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's some crazy shit. What Let me say, how bad? Let me ask you a question. Like, what is the culture like in Mexico right now with the cops, the drug dealers, public safety? I mean, are there a lot of like drug shootings in open public places? A lot going on down there. Like, still, it's just like, what's the deal down there?
Not that much. There was a time when, like, I would say when the war was at its worst, and I'm talking around the recession, so 2008, where there was public shootings, you know, a lot of people getting their head decapitated, and then they had them hanging from bridges as a sign to the city that we're here and we're not here to fuck around. You know what I'm saying? It was real, real, real bad. Now there's still a lot of violence because now that, you know, Chapo's been caught and a couple other guys have been busted, there's everybody wants that power because that's a lot of money and a lot of power.
So, So what's going on with the story with the chick came out and said the $100 million is get the president got $100 million.
Yeah, that was like, the chick. That was Cienfuegos. That was Cienfuegos.
The rat. Okay. The lieutenant guy, right?
He was a guy from Colombia.
Yeah, like one of the lieutenants from in the UK. Yeah. But okay, so he had. So what has been now? Are people calling for like the president to reveal his, like, I mean, there's got to be some backlash and like some public outcry for something that has to be investigated here, correct?
Yeah. Well, the thing is that what they said was not this president, the guy that's in there now, AMLO or Andres Lopez,
right.
Not him, the one before him,
right.
the good looking one, the Peña Nieto,
right?
You know, him. And the thing is that now the new president, he's actually asking the public if he wants him to investigate the past five presidents.
He's asking the public for that?
The public, bro.
Because he just wants it. Well, he's going to do it, obviously.
Right. And
he's just doing that to make sure that the public response is like 95% of the
But he's like a real populist.
Right.
Yeah, he's like a populist socialist. He's real weird. A lot of people are afraid of him because they swear that he's going to be the next Ortega. And you saw what Ortega did in Nicaragua.
Right.
So, of course, like everything else, now we're also having kind of a division in Mexico. And they're trying to say that this guy's going to be socialist. He's going to be like Ortega, you know. And but anyways, so he's actually taking that. So, obviously, Peña Nieto, I mean, it's so funny when they go, Peña Nieto has denied allegations. Like, he's going to say, yeah, I did it. Like, whoever admits they did anything. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, it's just going to get real interesting because now a lot of stuff that people, it's like everything else, it's like a lot of stuff that you had heard, that you had read, is now actually being verified.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Did you see this? Have you seen this story that went viral over the weekend, about those Catholic kids with the Indian guy?
Yeah.
Have you seen like what's happened with the story? Like,
yeah.
Basically the whole, what's your take? What did you get from this?
Yeah. I think Joe said it best. We were talking about it when you had left, what did he tell me, Joe?
Just that it depends on what channel you put on to see which side of the story they're going to offer. But, I mean, I think these kids got villainized because they're wearing Make America Great Again hats. They're going to be targets. Immediately,
here's the story. The main thing of this story
is... Well, because they're disrespecting the Native Americans.
That was the beginning of the story, right? But then it came out that, I saw, like, there was tons of video.
I saw the actual video singing and all that.
Well, the guy went on TV and said that these kids surrounded him and stuff and all that. And like, you see the video of the all the kids around him and like sitting, there's one kid sitting in his face, right? But that's the video that they showed. So they said the guy said these kids surrounded him. Okay, I saw the video where it clearly shows the guy just walk up right into the crowd, right up into the kid's face, banging the drum. Like he didn't, like they didn't surround him or nothing.
Right.
That guy walked right up to that kid and singing and started just like, and it's weird. And the kid made a statement, and like the kid's statement is backed by all the facts. Like he's like, I don't understand what's going on here. But that guy went on TV.
Here's the thing that happens with me, Disco. Like when I saw that, the same clip you talk about, this is where I'm at now. And we had this discussion on the show, which I think is a very viable one. Who was able to organize all these migrant people to come all the way to Mexico and they knew exactly how to get here and where to go and what to do? Who? Okay. Who might have told that Native American, hey, there's all these kids out there and they're against Native American rights and go out there and, you know, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And this is a fucking, you know what I'm saying? You just don't know who's behind this sometimes.
Well, I know, but these kids were just on a field trip. They weren't going to, to do anything. Showed up. And then all of a sudden there was a group there
The New Israel.
And they started yelling at the kids. Yelling at the kids. So the kids started doing their school cheers because they were the same race. They were calling the kids. There was a black kid in the group. They were calling the kid the N-word. Okay, so they started chanting, doing their school cheers, and when they did the school cheers, the Indian guy started banging the drum and went out right in their face. And then just like, and that's all you really see. The tape, there's like a 2.5 hour video that shows everything.
Yeah.
But like, this is funny because like, you know, like sometimes you get caught in things. You see, you read things, you react. And like, that's the culture of like what news is like in America today, is that we see a video and we try to get the whole, you know, we make our decision based on the one video. We don't get right. all the facts.
Which a lot of times that video is shot that way to make up your mind for
you. Right. I can make up your mind for you. Okay. And I was just saying, like, I tweeted that like the day after this, I get kind of so difficult these days to find facts. Like you said, like, okay, when you get told something that's in the news and, you know, you want to like it seems fishy or you think it's a narrative and you try to like look and you try to find, is this true? Is this factual? Is it, you know, and basically it's hard to like find the truth in things. And like eventually the truth comes out.
And here's what
for it. That's the most fascinating thing. It's like we used to watch as a society, the nightly news.
Right.
And the nightly news would come on and the guy would tell you what's happened,
right.
You know, and just in this, but like, the news now is like.
Let me help you make your point a little bit, because I once thought of that. I was wondering where was the devolution of the press, and so when you and my, I don't know if even Joe knows any of these guys, but I know you will. Walter Cronkite.
Yeah.
Right.
Of course.
Everybody respected and trusted whatever he said. Right.
Yeah.
Harry Reasoner. You know what I'm saying? Motherfucking Mike Wallace. Huh.
Yeah. And because what they would come on is they would tell you things that had the factual accounts of what happened. Right. It's like, bro, that they didn't like you didn't hear a story from the news unless this was true.
Cronkite,
you
know, like, and Harry Reasoner and Mike Wallace and all those guys, they gained a lot of credibility with the American people because they helped expose what was actually happening in Vietnam.
Right.
You know, because when the protests were happening in the United States, they had their propaganda machine out there. Yeah, these kids are on drugs. They're crazy. They don't know what they're fucking talking about. And they were kind of with the counterculture. You know what I'm saying? And they gained a lot of credibility. What happened is when 60 Minutes came out, which news used to inform before, they weren't really worried about making a big profit. Once they saw that you could make money off of 60 Minutes, that's when all these shows like Entertainment Tonight and all these other – you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like now it was a ratings bonanza to what it is now with Fox. Look at how great they've done.
Yeah. Well, the thing is like there's nothing more evident, you know, for people to listen to this show than like, you know, the news you get in pro wrestling. You know, the pro wrestling, there's such a division now between like old school thinking and new school fans that you just like the news, like there's a lot of narratives being driven, you know, by prominent, you know, writer, like, you know, like Meltzer keeps insisting that this is the best time ever for professional wrestling.
Right.
And I'm like, that's an opinion that's easily an opinion. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? And like, we could argue
but
that.
But I don't think he's stating it as a fact. He's stating it as, that's my opinion. I'm Dave Meltzer, and he's got a lot of people that respect his opinion. And then there's people that are like, no, I think you're wrong. Like you.
Right, exactly. But like I say, I think that like, but to see, that's the thing. That guy's supposed to be a news source.
Right.
And he's trying to drive a narrative because his business. Because
I think this is what happened.
Let me finish one sentence. Yeah. Because even for us, okay, our business is dependent on the business being more popular than it is. Right. And I'm not going to sit there and pretend that this is the best time to be professional wrestling, because like if we were podcasters in 1998, dude, we would have 2 million subscribers to this show. You know, see, just based on basic numbers, like of people, the amount of fans that were wrestling back then. But it's not, you know, but it's like sitting there trying to say that wrestling is great. I'm like, guys, it's not great like it used to be. There's no way you can sit there and say that, because I know, because like I can't, like, you have to get in this bubble to talk wrestling with people. You could usually talk wrestling with people that really weren't fans, that didn't watch it a lot, but they kind of knew what was going on. It's like nobody really knows what's going on today because there's so much product out there that's so diluted. There's so many organizations, so many industries. It's like, you know, the main show is not good. You know, Raw, WWE, right. It's at a very low point right now. So I sit there, I think it's funny, you know, when we were being fed, hey, this is the greatest time ever for professional wrestling, but by some people. And I'm like, dude, I'd like to investigate the facts on that. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't think it's true, you know?
Okay, so I'm gonna give you my opinion on both those answers. So the first one is, I think Dave Meltzer started off as just an information site. Mm-hmm. But then as people started to either respect or like or agree with his opinion, it became Dave Meltzer, the newsletter. And people were like, oh, well, Dave Meltzer put this match over. He said it was good. Uh-huh. I'm going to watch it. So he became kind of his own brand. And now when Dave Meltzer has an opinion, they're like, all right, they know that this is a guy that's been watching wrestling for a lot of years and seen a lot of shit. And a lot of people agree with him and some people don't, mm-hmm. but that's that. Right. And then the other thing as far as wrestling is that, you know, it's like everything else, you know. I thought the football I grew up with was way better because it was more violent.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I was waiting. I loved one of my favorite things in wrestling, not wrestling, in football was I wanted to see somebody from my defense take out the opposing guy's quarterback. Like, that to me was big. And so, you know, back
big
then.
Big hits. Was he hit the other team hard
right.
and knock the guys out? You know, right. it's just, yeah, that's right. what you wanted to see. Right.
And now today, even when you have a chance to just destroy, like, remember that one call they had against that it was roughing the passer and all he did was pass his hand in front of his helmet?
Yeah.
Right. Yep. It's like, wait a minute. That's roughing the passer back in our day was a lot. It was a lot more, you know, physical than that. And then even there was a time when the quarterbacks would run. Even when the player had a good chance to really take him out of the game, he doesn't do it. Yeah. You know, they give him like these soft hits.
Yeah.
And so I love that type of football. But this is the type of football that they're playing today, and it's either watch it or don't watch it. Same thing with wrestling. It's just a whole different animal from because of social media and just it's 20 years later and evolution. And like I've said before, whether it's movies, whether it's wrestling, whether it's whatever it is, the architects are the young people. They're the ones that are setting down the rules and doing it their way. And so, you know, we have to adapt to what they're doing. Obviously, like in wrestling, somebody like you and me that have a fucking 30-year Rolodex, we bring shit to the game, but we got to respect the new shit that's there now because that's their shit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, I'm walking a dog.
Do you pick up after your dog or you just let it shit all over the place?
Oh, of course I pick up. I'm not a savage.
Are you a vegan yet?
No.
What do you think about veganism?
People are going hungry.
Wait, I have a question for you.
I'm sure you do.
Have you instructed Joe that he has to laugh at all your jokes?
Yes, but I usually don't have to though. But usually he laughs on his own. But sometimes but I've made sure I put that as a standing order in the background.
If we looked at your contract, would it have a clause in there, a written clause that Joe would have to laugh at your jokes?
It's the Santa Claus. He has to laugh like a jolly fat man.
Oh, Raymond, are you on video or just phone call?
I'm just on phone call.
What? Okay, now you have a show. This is like the ultimate troll. It's like, hey, you know, we do video. We know you have video capability. But you've elected to just phone into this show. It's like you're actually dismissive of our importance and, like, you know, that they, we don't deserve the actual, like, Raven visual.
Even more dismissive, I didn't even phone in. You guys phoned me.
Phone in. Raven's with us.
Yes. What's up, Raven?
Hey, what's up, K-Dog?
Where are you at in Atlanta?
I just want to think about that. Okay, we're over 50 years old.
Right.
And, like, did you think that, like, when you were going, you know, you were in high school or in college and stuff and all that, that, like, after 50 years old, you would have conversations with people on the phone and you would call each other and say, hey, Raven, hey, K-Dog, and you're talking about yourselves?
Yeah, absolutely. That was my first thought when I was in college. It wasn't about getting women or getting laid. It was about calling people a
or getting guys.
50. Yeah, or getting guys if you're Glenn.
Right. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, Raven, where are you at now? In Atlanta still?
Yeah, Atlanta. Yeah.
All right. So what are you doing now, bro? You're doing the podcast. You do some wrestling. Are you doing comedy or what else do you do? Like, what is your kind of like where you get your income from?
I'm a jack of all trades and a master of none.
Right.
I do a little bit of. I have income. I've invested really, really well.
Right.
So that's and then I make money on the indie shows and personal appearances, and that's all I do.
Right.
The podcast.
Right. So why did you end up just staying in Atlanta? Because when you worked for WCW, you liked it, or what? Why do you end up staying there?
I liked it. I mean, I had no interest in moving.
Right.
You know, just it worked out for me. I mean, I really like the area. Stayed in the same condo I've been in.
Do you keep in contact with anybody in the Atlanta area from the boys, like DDP or somebody like that?
Yeah, I talk to DDP all the time.
Right. Anybody else?
Swinger every so often. I don't know. I'm not a phone person.
Wait a minute. Have you seen Swinger's gimmick in Impact?
No, uh-uh. What's he doing?
It's hilarious. He plays like this guy that's still stuck in the past, and he still
like
uses...
the cheesy 70s wrestler.
Right. But he still uses lexicon from, like, hey, brother, you know, let's kayfabe. And
yeah, no, hey, brother, you got any pizzles?
Right.
Like, I'll say that.
Right, and he's hitting on all the girls, like, you know, stuff that in the 90s is frowned upon. He's hitting on the girls, you know.
A lot of the stuff that he does, I'm certain, was taken from the way that you treated your fellow employees in WCW. I would definitely, the way you treated women, I would suggest that Johnny Swinger's character at Impact is based on the model that was presented by Raven of how he treats women.
How dare you say I'm not a feminist?
Raven, let me ask you a question. We've been very critical on this show of your comedy, okay? Because we know from the years 1995 to the 2000 that you were one of the funnier people to hang out with. You were always joking around, always very quick with everything, all that. Okay, now let's fast forward to the year 2020, and you're doing stand-up comedy, okay? When are you thinking of political correctness when you're up there telling jokes and they're filtering yourself or anything? Or are you just going up there and just being like the Raven that we knew from 20 years ago?
Yeah, Raven from 20 years ago. Same person I am now. I mean, I haven't changed other than I'm probably more evolved, nicer, and stupider.
Okay, let's talk about that. You say you're more evolved.
Yes, well, I've also gotten dumber, so there's that too.
Okay, so let's talk about your evolution. Because back in the
old self-deprecating humor.
Back in the day, we used to go on the road, we'd party, do drugs, drink every day. What gradually, during what period of time did you start, like, transitioning from that into evolving into what you are today?
Thursday.
Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday.
Joe laughed at that, Conan.
Yeah,
Conan laughed at that.
And I didn't.
Conan did not laugh at that. He picked up the kazoo and kazooed you, which is like, it's like the antithesis.
Well, hey, do you have your slide whistle, Raven?
No, I'm walking a dog. I forgot all about this conference. I forgot that I agreed to do this.
Wait a second. Let me get this straight. So you knew you were doing our show. Okay.
I told Feeney I would do it. I didn't put it on my schedule or anything. I assumed he would forget to call me and I wouldn't have to do it.
Okay, we had a schedule. You scheduled 2:00. He called you, and this coincided with you walking your dog to take a shit. And so that's what you're doing now. You're doing the show while you're walking your dog.
Yeah, I it wasn't like a priority or anything. It was like Feeney said. He goes, "Listen, can you do 20 minutes? They really like it." I'm like, yeah, you know, I'll do him a favor. I mean, you know, I like Conan, you know, and Disco's Disco.
Raven.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question, because that is an interesting question. So going from your ultra party days, right, to coming to a point in your life where you decided I need to get off of this for whatever reason, and I need to start changing. When did that actually happen?
Mid-40s.
Mid-40s, so, but was there something?
No,
I cleaned up
in 2001 or something. I don't know. I forget what year.
Right.
But at some point, I realized that I didn't want to be one of those egotistical old-timers going, oh, you should have seen the houses I drew, kid. And right. I was like, I gotta stop being such an egomaniac and have a sense of self-worth. And, you know, you know how Disco has to always do everything to make himself in the center of attention,
right?
Like, even if it's being insulted and
right.
treated poorly by everyone and looked down upon by
right.
pretty much the entire wrestling community,
right?
I didn't want to be like that. I didn't
right.
want to need.
Wait a minute.
I didn't want to need adulation.
Could you do that for me, please?
I actually like that.
It was a very long-winded insult.
Right.
I didn't want to need adulation from perfect strangers to make me feel good about myself. Right. Obviously, it's still not helping Disco.
I want to bring this up.
Okay, though. He'll grow. He'll get.
I think that you went a long way to insult him, and it was worth it. But let me ask you this question, because this is a hard question, because I had to come to grips with something kind of like that, which is, at what point, where did you develop this self-awareness? Was it you reading about yourself? Was it you hearing people that were telling you this?
Yeah, I'm telling you. I want to step out of the box.
Honestly,
time out. I don't think it's a self-awareness. I think it's self-loathing.
No, it used to be. It used to be self-loathing, but
the self-loathing.
I always knew that I had a problem with my ego.
Right.
And obviously, when you have an ego problem, it means you're insecure.
Right.
I never wanted to deal with it while I was on drugs.
This is an interesting story, right? So Raven, out of the blue, one time. Either text me or messaged me on one of the social media platforms. I had posted, I never do this. I posted a pic of like in the tanning salon of like me with my shirt off. Okay. And Raven like texted me and asked like, what was my mindset and wanting to post a picture of me with my shirt off to people, like, you know, something like, and so that's exactly what you were talking about. Don't want like self adulation or you know, likes and stuff, and like you're asking me why I did that. Yeah. And I'm like, I never do that.
I knew why.
Everybody else and their mother does it. I just did it one time, and it's like you thought that I was trying to make this big extrapolate, the reason why I did it.
No, I realized it was a sad cry for help, and I was trying to be there for you.
Wait, so time out. So me posting a picture of me in shape is a sad cry for help.
Why do you care if people think you're in shape or not?
I don't really care. It's just like Instagram.
Listen. You go, I don't really care. That means you do care on some level.
Okay, let's talk about level. Minimal level.
Glenn, your dad told you he wished you'd never been born. Of course you're going to have insecurity issues because of that.
No, he didn't say that. He said he wished I'd never existed.
Well, which is the same thing.
So he didn't even want me born from somebody else.
Yeah, but that's my point. Of course you're going to have insecurity issues. Don't feel bad about yourself.
It's not a security issue. It's a self-confidence issue.
It's why you have to cut off everybody's legs is to make yourself feel taller.
That's what you do.
No, I don't do that anymore. I used to do it.
Raven.
Yes.
So getting back to that question was, so what happened? Did you come to grips yourself? Did somebody tell you? Did you read about it? Did you see a psychiatrist and he helped you get to that? Or how did that happen?
I knew all along. It was just a matter of finally dealing with it because I knew it was a big issue. And I saw a psychologist.
Right.
Saw a psychologist and she helped me deal with issues, you know, and helped me deal with it and found an intelligent way to go about it. And basically, it was just a matter of, you know, checking my basest impulses. And anytime I felt like I was behaving in a manner like the Glenn Gilberti would, I immediately said, no, don't do that.
Right.
Let me ask you this. This is an interesting, because, like, I don't think.
Why do you preface every question by asking, say, let me ask you this? Just
That's
go ahead
gimmick.
And ask me.
That's my
You
gimmick.
Have free reign. I'm on your show. You can ask me whatever you like. You don't have to ask me if you can ask me.
That's well, I my think gimmick. There's heat between Raven
if you realize,
and Disco.
Time out. If you realize you have a professional wrestling day, I could put that on a T-shirt and make money if I keep saying it all the time. All right, so let me ask you.
So do you sell T-shirts that say, let me ask you this?
I'm doing it right now. Let me ask you this.
How about let me sell you this and then try and see if anybody will buy one?
No, I forgot what we were talking about just now.
I'm trying to distract and obfuscate so we can change the subject and I can get off the phone and take my dog.
Let's talk about this. Okay, because so people know where you're coming from, all right? And this is fascinating because I don't think anybody's ever met anybody like this, okay? But you had to take you have to take Adderall to go to sleep, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, that's – I would say the bell curve – you're definitely one of the extreme things, like what the extreme sides. Okay, why did you have like? Because I think it's a fascinating story. Why do you have to take Adderall to go to sleep? Because everybody their mother that takes Adderall needs it to wake up and like be attentive.
That's how Adderall and Ritalin works. If you have a severe ADD, the taking the medicine instead of speeding you up, it actually slows you down. It works in reverse. It's
That's true, because I remember that they were giving Adderall like the kids in school, and I was like, "Fuck, that's kind of young to be giving it to a kid." You know,
he's hyper.
Because
why does Adderall wake me up then? Why can't it wake
normal people up? So I guess you're a normal person.
Okay, and so the abnormal people that it makes them go to sleep.
Hyper people. Yeah. There's hyper people and people that aren't hyper.
But you never really seem like hyper. Like when I think of hyper, I think of remember Kenny Chaos? That's a guy that I consider hyper. You were nothing like Kenny Chaos.
I'll tell you who was hyper. God rest his soul, Brian Christopher.
Brian Christopher was hyper. Ravo is nothing like that. You know, so when I think of hyper, so I'd never considered you hyper. I always thought you more subdued.
No, I could see hyper because he talked a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I talked incessantly.
Yeah.
It's why it's why I hate talking on the phone, because when I'm at home, I want to watch TV and turn my brain off. And but when I'm in public, I talk incessantly because I get bored so easily.
You would probably just
I get chemical imbalances in my brain.
Had my spot,
yeah, bro, on the show, I dealt with a lot of mental health issues, so I understand.
Had my spot on the show, Raven, you'd pull your teeth out because these guys just constantly cut me off. They never let me get a word in. They're always interrupting me, you know, and stuff. And so, I don't know how you would survive in like this format.
Nobody cuts you off just now, and you said some things that were remotely intelligent, and you're doing good. Keep going.
That won't last long. Joe, when I was looking through the letters, there's one here you might want to, Raven might want to answer it. It says Raven and Sting. What's that about?
Do you want me to read it, D.I., or do you want to read it?
Why don't you read it?
Okay, this is from Joe Troller.
Okay.
And the title of the email is Raven and Sting. What's up, guys? Just finished listening to the latest Raven podcast, and one of the questions was about Sting. Of course, Raven gave some bullshit non-answer and wasted 4 to 6 minutes rambling about total shit. Wasted chance.
Oh, wait. This is definitely true, then. This is definitely true.
Right.
Wasted chance of some cool audio. You guys are usually pretty good with backstage stories. So, Conan and D.I., have you got any stories about Sting backstage? Any real-life heat? Party stories, Sting fighting with other people. What about him apparently turning up wasted to Starrcade 97? Come on, guys.
Let me preface this by saying I really have those stories on Sting. I never hung out with him.
Okay, but Raven, here's the thing. People don't want to hear that, so don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. People want to hear – like I remember one time Ron Killings had this confrontation with John Cena at the airport, and everybody wanted them to fight. Because I guess Cena was rapping and they had asked Killings what they thought about Cena, and he said Cena wasn't that good. And so I was like, so people were coming up to him at Impact, and they were like, hey, Ronnie, that you and Cena almost went at it at the airport. And he was like, nah, man, he was there and I was there. Nothing happened. And I go, fuck that story, bro. Let me tell the story for you. So every time somebody came up, I was like, bro, Ronnie was going to punch this motherfucker out, and I had to hold him back. And people were like, really? And what happened next? And so I was like, that's the type of story they want to hear. They don't give a shit about some boring shit. So you can mess up, Raven.
That was what he got for writing a boring letter.
Right.
There was no. All our fan mail is generally ridiculous and absurd. And right. his was way too normal. So I refuse to do anything that smacks of normalcy on the show.
All right.
I got a Sting story. Sting brought his two 20-year-old nieces to the show one time, and Raven exposed himself to them.
Now,
I'm not going to let the truth get in the way of a good story, but is that story plausible?
You have the wrong Sting. It was the guy in the police I did that to his nieces.
That's tremendous.
Well,
I will tell you one time, out of all places, we wrestled in Nebraska. I think it was Lincoln. And he was like, yeah, man, I want to let everybody know that, I'm from Lincoln, and he put over Nebraska, and I go, bro, you're such a fucking worker. You're from Lincoln? And he was like, no, honestly, I have family here. And so, like, we went back, and I was fucking with him the whole time in the dressing room. We came back to the hotel, and his family was there with him. So I don't know if he grew up in Lincoln or he was born in Lincoln, but he definitely had family.
Or
flew his family in just to put them over. That's tremendous. That is tremendous. All right.
There was one more in here that addressed Raven. If you like,
what a coincidence! The guys on the show.
Well, what are the odds of that?
It's funny. These were both sent last week, but I didn't actually. Contact Raven about coming on the show until Saturday. So it is a coincidence, oddly enough. But this one is called "Raven Down or Pulling the Best Fast One" from Adam Wright, and it says, "Your show is killer. I listen every week. And I won't waste time looking for cheap pops. Raven came to do a show in my little hometown of Connersville, Indiana. He was supposed to wrestle.
Do you remember this, Raven?
Yeah. I was just about a week and a half ago.
Right.
He was supposed to wrestle, but then announced that he had a stent put in his heart and couldn't wrestle at that time. He still did a spot.
A what? Stent, who is this?
Stent, I had a stent put in on a couple days before Christmas.
You have heart problems?
I had a stent put in. I had a heart attack in 2016, and they put a stent in.
Time out. You had a heart attack in 2016?
I didn't make a big deal about it. It's not a big deal.
Well, let's make a big deal about it. I can't believe you had a heart attack in 2016 and didn't tell anybody.
I know, because I don't have to get adulation from perfect
strangers. Yeah, but don't you think you tell your friends that, like, care about your health and stuff? Everything? Like, yeah, you have a heart attack?
I did tell my friends to care about my health.
Raven.
I didn't get a call.
Raven.
So I told my friends who care about my health.
Just so you know, I had two stents put in, bro.
Oh, so Conan always has to do that.
No, this is true.
Like, bro, Conan does this. He's becoming very proficient on Twitter. If somebody has a story of, like, there's something about, like,
try to
anybody in Mexico, Conan will start his tweet with, like, when I was booking him in 2000, Conan always tries to get himself over regardless of what story you have to tell.
All right. You know what he's trying to say? Because the other day somebody put up a film about Brian Pillman with Liger, right? And then one of the things that made Brian Pillman so unique is while everybody else is making fun of luchadors, he wanted to learn lucha. Yes.
The way you just presented it was a very, like, opposite the way you presented it. When I was booking, him and Trish, your whole thing was centered around the fact
when I was booking
you were the booker, and, like, this guy was under you. Yes, 100%.
Wrong. 1,000 suck on this. 1,000. I just told you, Raven, exactly what I wrote. Okay, I put what made Brian unique was that while everybody else was making fun of Lucha, he wanted to learn it. And I put Super Astro was his idol. And I go, hashtag way ahead of his time. And some troll wrote, yeah, Conan, how come you have to make this about yourself? And I go, where did I make it about myself? And then I buried him. What did I say?
I don't know. Kanye Trump Space Force.
Yeah, right. I put no need to be a dick, right? That, how is that putting myself over?
Yeah. Glenn, you did right now.
Glenn.
Like, Raven has, like, hey, I had a stem, I had one stem.
I did. I had.
Was like, oh.
That's
the way you could do.
Let me tell you.
I said I had my second stint put in. He said he had two stints. If he was trying to get over, he would have said he had three stints put in.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to try to get three stints so I can come back on this podcast and
Disco's trying to make it about who had more stents. I was doing it because it's something we can relate to. Not
you
only
can commiserate with each other.
You know what you did, Conan? Right. Raven was telling a story, and you tried to put your two stents in.
All right. Wait, what's that?
Did you just say he tried to put his juice stents in? How dare you?
That's tremendous. All right, so you had that.
Joe has something here.
Yeah, to finish the guy's email. So it says, Raven was supposed to wrestle, but then announced he had a stent put in his heart and couldn't wrestle at that time. But he still did a spot with a few chair shots on some of the local talent. I thought, wow, this guy came all this way and still performed in spite of his heart issue. And then I thought to myself, did I just get taken by one of the best players in the game? Can anyone there verify Raven's condition, or do we just get played by the booker? The more I think about it, it sounds like something a seasoned wrestler would do to us redneck marks. That's from
absolutely
Adam.
First of all, you're talking to a guy. You're talking to a guy that literally probably of anybody on the independent wrestling scene is a bigger pain in the ass for every promoter, because every single time that he would be booked in a singles match on a show, he would go to the talent, go to the promoter, and try to make it a tag literally almost every single time he wrestled on indies. And that, can you confirm or deny that, Raven? Will you deny that?
I would like to say that little Guido pulled a fast one on me, and I was supposed to manage, and he turned it into a six-man about a month ago. And I was like, ah, they got me in my own petard.
That's tremendous.
You were just supposed to manage, huh?
And somehow little Guido got me stuck in a six-man. I was like, ah, you bastard, little Guido. So I totally had more respect for him for that.
He reversed the charges on you.
Let me ask you a question. When you wrestle these days, you just troll the audience, just do comedy spots now?
No, the only way I can wrestle because of my injuries is if I'm in a tag as a babyface, so I'm coming on the shine, let my partner get the heat, and then I get the hot tag and go home. But right, the fans don't know.
That's what they want to see.
Let me ask you a question. Why would your injuries prevent you from selling but enable you to get your offense in? Explain that to me.
Because when you're getting hit, you can get hit cockamamie, and you get hit by people that can't work, and you got to take bumps, and taking bumps on my neck is no good because I got occipital neuralgia. So that's why I don't even use my finish. I don't even do my finish.
Wait, hold on, listen.
You'll love this. I have my partner do the finish because he's a local indie guy, and that way he hits the DDT, so he gets the rub, and that way I don't have to do it and land on my neck.
Wait, what is the injury you said you had in your neck?
Occipital neuralgia, which is an inflammation of the neck.
No, you sound like Gordon Solie. Like you're making up like body parts.
I'm sorry for being intelligent. I'm sorry.
So long from the Sunshine State. Anyway, do you remember Gordon Solie, Raven?
Oh, yeah. One of my greatest accomplishments in the business was commentating with him when I was in Florida Championship Wrestling.
Really? Did you commentate?
Yeah, for like 10 months.
Do you remember Raven doing Gordon Solie impersonations all the time? Brother.
You know, but I didn't know he announced with him.
Yeah, no, he did, but I mean, he always you asked if you remember Gordon Solie, which is like the dumbest question you could probably ask him. Of course you remember Gordon.
You're just trolling for anything that you can bury me on, can you?
Do you think that I'm the type of person that tries to be negative all the time and tries to put a damn towel on everything?
1,000%. Yeah,
you try to pull everybody underwater while they're swimming.
You're a walking Linus towel. That's what you are.
He's like that cartoon where he goes, "It'll never work, Gulliver."
Raven, let me ask you a question. You ever think that photos might show up
of you?
With the cancel culture right now, do you ever worry about like a lot of stuff that we did back in the day that like, you know, people found out that we get like...
Oh, I thought you meant photos of you that I have.
What document of photos do you have?
I think you know. I think you would rather I didn't say.
Oh.
I don't know if you know about this. I got thick skin. I don't care about it. Whatever he says about me.
Glenn, you really don't want me to tell you what tell people what this picture is of.
You can tell people what pictures were. I don't care.
All right, it's a picture of me shoving a dildo in Glenn's ass.
No, first of all, he didn't shove it in my ass. He was trying to shove it in my ass, and they caught.
You were trying to let me.
No,
that's tremendous.
That sounds like a Patreon exclusive.
No.
And with that, I will bid you a fond adieu.
Raven.
Wait. So you're leaving us in like with no. Well, we got to ask you to plug yourself.
Oh, I was trying to plug you with the dildo. Oh.
Raven.
Yes.
Any
good great
movies?
Picture, Conan. I got to say, next time I see you, I'm going to be somewhere where you're at. I'll bring the picture with me.
Any good
hilarious. Doesn't have
any okay, good like, movies or I have series? Picture. Yeah.
What's that?
Any good movies or TV series that you've seen lately?
Yes, His Dark Materials, and I just started watching The Witcher with Henry Cavill.
Right.
Superman. Yeah, it's really good.
What's that about?
He's a mutant monster hunter back in the Game of Thrones era.
Right.
And he goes around killing monsters, but people hate him, so they boo him when he comes to town because he's a mutant.
Have you heard of that, Joe?
No, I haven't. I haven't heard of that.
It's on Netflix. It's called The Witcher.
The Witcher.
Oh yeah, okay. I heard of it. I know it's based off of some books or whatever, but I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it yet.
Raven, do you still read comic books?
No, and there's still really? once in a blue moon. But there's also a movie on Netflix called Six Underground with Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
That's amazing. That's a nonstop thrill ride.
You just watch that because you're attracted to Ryan Reynolds.
It's about basically him and five, six people, they have themselves killed to the public so they can do right, it's like an 18 kind of thing.
Raven, do you know that I still joke to this day that I always tell people that, like, it would, Raven, like, Conan always, we always tell the jokes, not the jokes, that they're actually the stories, where, like, you would be on a TV show and doing an interview with somebody, and you'd be giving them your bio, and you would tell them your IQ, and, like, you'd do it, like, lower than your actual IQ, so you could, Conan says, like, so you could correct them on the air
that
your IQ is actually higher.
It's actually Conan made that up, but it's actually so hilarious. I wish I would have done it.
Right. How great is that?
He said that the Donny Marie's show that you told your IQ was 140 is I'm actually 140.42, but
it's actually 143.
That's tremendous, Raven.
All right, I got to go, man. Take care, guys.
But wait a minute, Raven, before you leave, besides disco, plug something like your podcast, your Twitter.
The Raven Effect podcast and Twitter is at The Raven Effect. Everything's at The Raven Effect. And also I'm going to be in L.A. January 18th.
What?
And if you're around Conan, I'm going to be at the wrestling store, or the wrestling guy store.
Oh, yeah. Doing a signing?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, hit me up.
I will.
All right. Bro, all right. Let's not wait another a year or whatever it's been since you've been back, and let's do this again.
Absolutely, man.
All right, Raven. Thank you very much for being on Keeping It 100. Boom. Didn't catch all of it and what Cody said. What happened after what Cody put that up there?
I didn't know Cody responded. It's basically what you said and what D.I. said. Vince has tweeted at Cody and Tony Khan a few times in the past week. Oh, shit, dropped my phone. And said he's not looking for a job, but he wants to help the business. He's got a need in him to help the wrestling business, and he thinks he can help AEW. So he just wants to offer advice, and they can. He's following them now on Twitter, and they can DM him if they want to have a phone call or a Skype call and take some of his advice and hear some of his thoughts. But right. I'm going to look at Cody's Twitter now because I did not know that he responded. And it's a shame because even if Vince had brilliant ideas for AEW, which he could have great ideas, he could have some good, some whatever, who knows, but we're never going to know because they'll never give him a chance because of all the heat that he has and people, his reputation through the years, you know? We'll never know.
Right.
Looking at his tweets now, Cody. Because I know Vince did say, like you said earlier, that it was like, this is the last chance. You know, if I don't hear from you by this day, I'm rescinding the offer.
So I just think that putting it publicly like that and then saying, oh, I'm only giving you 2 days, that looks bad.
So one of Vince's fans, I guess, at Badar says, that Iranian flag there, I think, posts a video, Cody has my number. And it's Vince saying to Jeff Lane, you know, Cody has my number. He can call me. Cody says, there's no need to tag me in this stuff. I'm happy that they're so interested in the show. Happy we are coming off such a strong show. And in 2019, having had the biggest debut for TNT in 5 years, we've got some big goals in 2020 for the company. And this guy Bader says, you're selling out big shows. Weekly attendance is embarrassing. Please don't be oblivious to the facts. Half empty arenas are viral every week. And Cody's response, my mind and heart is always open, but I'm happy with our current team. Young, ear to the ground on modern society and watching today's product. To have the biggest debut for TNT in 5 years remains very validating. A lot of work to do and the right people to do it. So I didn't even think he was going to respond like that. So there actually was a public response. It gets Vince a little attention. Maybe it gets people to check the brand out. And if that was his goal, there you go.
Why would they check out the brand just because they read that?
Well, above it was a clip from him putting his plea out there to Cody from the brand, a video. So maybe that would get people to check it out.
And what was it that Cody said? I didn't catch the whole thing. The last thing he said.
He said, my mind and heart is always open, but I am happy with our current team. Young, ear to the ground on modern society and watching today's product. To have the biggest debut for TNT in 5 years remains very validating. A lot of work to do and the right people to do it. So there you go.
What does that sound like to you?
It sounds like he's exactly what he said. He's happy with the team that he's got, and they're going to keep pushing forward with the staff or whoever's taking care of the creative and the ideas and all that. He's happy with it, and they're going based off of their current results. They're happy with them, but they want to do better this year.
Now, did Russo reply to that?
Because this was sent to him by one of the brand members, it looks like.
Oh, one of the brand members said that? Not Cody?
Cody said that, but he was responding to a video that a brand member sent him.
Oh, okay.
Of Vince talking, yeah. Scrolling through here, Vince has been on in the last 3 hours. But 23 hours ago, he tweeted, I really don't understand why I want to help today's wrestling business so much. I really don't. It's not about a job or the money. I guess it's about knowing how great it once was and knowing it could be again. I guess it's just something that was once an important part of me. That was about a day ago. Here's another one. In 2020, everybody needs to get off their high effing horse. When are people going to understand we are all born equally and we are all in this together? Stop thinking that you're better than anybody. It's all bullshit. But nothing for Cody since, I guess.
So that last statement, you think he's talking about AEW?
In a roundabout way, yeah. Maybe the fans... Maybe, because he, I mean.
Bro, he needs to really let that go, dude. It's like, you know what I'm saying?
But I mean, yeah, and it's like a bigger example of like the advice that you'll give me to let things slide and this and that. And obviously, what I mean is he deals with that 100 times fold. So there was another tweet where he said how he, if you're talking shit on him, he's already got you on ignore, so you're wasting your time. And that happens a lot. I mean, there's people that have never dealt with him, and then there's even people that...
No, but I'm not talking shit on him. I'm just telling you, you know, what think. I'm his friend. I'm not trying to bury him. Just it's like, it just seems that like forever it's been the same thing. It's either he's mad at Meltzer or he's mad at, you know, the wrestling industry. The thing is, he also has to realize, bro, that he made a lot of enemies trying to placate his base. And right. That's a chance that you take when you do that. That's why Cornette, if he wouldn't have been such a dick, he probably wouldn't have had so much heat for making that comment. Well, I'm sure he would have had heat, but like they were just looking for anything with him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think Vince is the same way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, you can't keep poking the bear. And then when people, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I think
you're just saying, yeah. Or do you know what I'm saying?
No, I know what you're saying. Yeah. I think that, yeah, certain people can get away with certain things and certain people can't. And I think with Vince, when he lashes out,
it's almost
a lot,
and I said it's almost like Trump. He's pissed off so many motherfuckers that now anything he does is mega magnetized because he's always in people's shit and in your face, and you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, Vince, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And when you talk about if Obama would have hit the guy in Iran along with the multiple, you know, he took out so many guys from ISIS and all this. He was bombing places.
Bro, he took out way more people. He used drones way, way, way more than Trump. And he, way more than Bush.
And he wouldn't get the heat.
And
Trump
he also was
Trump
very like, he also hated leaks and was like, you know, he did a lot of his shit too. But since he wasn't out there, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But I think a lot of what I see from Vince and his problem is not so much guys that he's, you know, not like Cornette. I don't think Cornette bothers him. I think he gets more bothered by people that listen to him on the brand and then talk shit or talk shit about his podcast now or call him like a relic and things like that. I think things like that do, you know, obviously bother him. And that's why you see those kind of tweets from him every now and then. So.
Yeah, but the thing is, when you put those tweets out, you're letting the trolls know that you're bothered, and that's what they will fucking hone in on. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.